the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, continuing our study of real people with real problems. And the problems in Corinth we're going to focus on today was that they were not very wise master builders. Paul says in the text we're going to be reading that he was a wise master builder. And that's my challenge to you in this message, to be a wise, expert builder. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious Word? And would you take a moment and stop and realize this is God's Word to you today. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow servants, or God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Can I just love you today? Not preach at you. Can I just love you? Can I just love you enough to tell you the truth? To tell you the truth in love. Can I love you that much? Will you allow me that privilege? I've had this burden on my heart for about a month. And I didn't realize until I was preparing this week that the burden was for this message. And the more I studied, the more I thought, the more this message grabbed me. And the more it grabbed me, the more burdened I became, until I've come to the point this morning where I just need to spill out the love of God on you. Did you ever know something was going to happen before it happened? I'm not talking about that ESP psychic stuff. But did you ever know? Did you ever look at somebody's life and say, this is not going to end well? By the decisions they're making, you just know the crash is coming. You're not sure if it's going to be sooner or if it's going to be later, but you know the crash is coming. That's kind of where we are as a culture today. That's where we are as I look at a lot of individuals who claim to be Christians today. As they make these decisions that you think, that's not God. How can you allow that in your life? What are you thinking? You know this is not going to end well. What are you doing? But yet, still make those same decisions that you know will leave their life in a wreckage. First thing I want you to understand about the subject today is that you must have a foundation. If you're going to build a life, how many of you are building a life? Raise your hand. If you're not building a life, this doesn't apply to you. But I think this is everybody, okay? We're building a life. And if you're going to build a life, you're going to have a foundation. And if you're going to lay the foundation, first of all, you've got to know what you're doing. Paul said, as a wise master builder. Put it in our language, a skilled expert builder. He's not being egotistical. He's not being prideful. He's just stating a fact that, guys, I know what I'm doing. I know how to build a life. I know how to build a church. And the reason Paul knew these things was it was from God. Okay? It wasn't that Paul was such an intelligent guy. Everything he received from God. But I want you to also know that you can be a master builder or an expert life builder because you have the Word of God. You know, you're no different than Paul. You're building a life. If you don't know what you're doing, if you do not have a plan, a standard, your life's going to collapse and you're going to continually spend your life picking up the broken pieces. That's why Paul said he laid the foundation. Because you see, the foundation is so very vital to who you are and what you become in your life. Everything that you build on in this life will stand on the foundation. Do you know what a foundation is? Everybody look under your feet. That's the foundation. You really don't think about it that much until the foundation begins to give way. And if the foundation begins to give way, guess what's going to happen? Run! Get out of this big building because those beams, those lights, the sheetrock, everything, it's all coming down if this foundation moves. That's why the foundation is so very vital. And Paul said, look, I've laid the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and no other foundation can any man lay. That word no is an interesting Greek word. You know what it means? No. I mean, it's like one of those triple negatives. No, nothing at all. Not in the least. In no respect. Absolutely nothing. No other foundation can any man lay. That'll work. Are you familiar? Here's where I'm going to start loving. Are you familiar with the phrase, it's not working? You ever heard somebody, it's not working? Well, I want to tell you, if it's not working today, if your life is not working, there's a reason it's not working. Have you ever had a watch quit? Do you know why it quit? Because it was broke. Duh. It's broke. Now, I might not can tell you exactly what's wrong with the watch, but I can tell you it's broke if it's not running. If a car doesn't start, what does that mean? I'll let you guess. It's broke. If your life is not working, everybody listen. Teens, elementary, young and old. If your life is not working, it's broke. Okay? Something's broke. It's not right. All right? And my heart breaks as I look at people today. Some of whom call themselves Christians. And they don't understand. Well, why is my life in such disarray, and why does it seem like every time I turn around, the walls are just collapsing in on me? I want to say, look! You're broke. The drug addict. And I'm not judging. I'm not judging. Okay? But if you do drugs, and you're wondering why your life is such a mess. And if it's not a mess, it will be. You're broke. You're building on the wrong foundation. It's still unbelievable to me that our state, apparently coming up on the November ballot, will be voting I've forgotten what it's called, the Cannabis Act. Which is marijuana, legalizing marijuana. And we're putting it under the cloud of medical marijuana. I don't buy that. No! That is what our society really needs, is for most of the people to be walking around stoned on marijuana. It does not make sense. You want to know why things are like they are? Look at the choices people are making. And I know kids today are back, they say, oh, it's just marijuana, it won't hurt anything. Yeah, keep on going down that road and see where you wind up. You will not. First of all, yeah, marijuana, you need to get out of it. But you will not stay on marijuana, I will tell you. You will go deeper and deeper. Here's what's going to happen. And I tell you this because I love you. And because, quite frankly, I hate seeing the lives that are going down the tubes all around us. Your life's going to crumble. And you're going to say, what happened? Marijuana wasn't supposed to be that big a deal. I was just going to do the meth that one time. Look, you're building on the wrong foundation. The alcoholic that can't figure out why can't I keep a job? Duh. Please listen to me as my heart goes out to you. Yes. If you're going to be a drunk, you can't be a drunk and keep a job. Why? Because you can't go around half conscious all the time and expect to do a good job for anybody. It just makes sense. Okay? You're building on the wrong foundation. Your marriage. Brother Doug, my marriage is falling apart and I don't understand why. Let me ask you a question. What's your standard of marriage? Here's the world standard of marriage. It's a 50-50 proposition. Beth gives 50, I give 50. And then it's supposed to work. That is the dumbest standard for marriage that you could ever buy. I want to tell you, there are times when Beth is given 99%. There were times I didn't deserve to be married to her. But she gave. Right? But I will be honest with you, there's been a time or two I gave a little more than 50% too. You know? But see, what I'm trying to bring you to is God has these standards. God has these directions for our life. Marriage? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, that's the standard. That means we can't love them enough. Yeah. And I look around and people say, well, I don't love him anymore. Where from God's Word do you make that determination that you don't love him anymore, so you're just going to leave? I'll tell you, you will not find it in God's Word because it is not there. When we say, till death do us part, it means till death do us part. And I look at and people are making these bad decisions and lives are falling apart and we don't seem to understand why. I know why. And like I say, my heart breaks that we think we're going to make bad decisions work. That we're going to build on some other foundation. Jesus put it like this, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Have you ever seen those folks that it didn't matter that time after time they were just hit, by the events of life, and somehow their faith was stronger every time? You know why? It's because they built their house upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. At the same time, you see those that the most insignificant things just cause their world to crumble. You know why? Because they're not the wise master builder. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like this foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And read that last line with me. And great was its fall. What's Jesus saying? It does not work. It does not work. Beloved, you've got to have a foundation. And that foundation, there's only one that works, and that is Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're going to spend your life picking up pieces. Quality matters. Paul gave us a list of building materials there as he listed. He said, you get that foundation laid. And let me just say, if you're not a child of God, you do not have a foundation. Okay? You do not have anything to build on. You need to take care of that today. Not tomorrow, not next week. And there are a lot of people who say, I'm going to, next year or when I get this taken care of. No. Don't leave out of here without a foundation. Turn to Jesus for salvation today. Then, as you lay that foundation, you start to build. Quality matters. Be careful, Paul said, how you build, because there are two classes of building material. Number one, the material that will endure fire. And number two, the materials that will be consumed by fire. That's the gold, silver, precious stones are the ones that will endure the fire. Wood, hay, stubble, that don't do well with fire. Right? Because the day will declare it. There's coming a time when those things you built on the foundation of Jesus Christ will be crystal clear that you built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Not the cheap stuff, but the quality stuff. You see, the thing about gold and silver and precious stones is those are the things that are hard to get. They're expensive. Somehow we as Christians think it's supposed to be easy. No, it's not. It's never easy. You know, the gold, you have to mine it. The silver, you have to mine it. You have to be willing to do the hard things. I have come to conclusion that the things that are worth anything in this life are not easy. Okay? Those easy things I take for granted. But those things I had to really get in and dig for. Those are the things that are of value to me. Same way with God. See, religion has become a spectator sport today. Where we go and we expect to be entertained by the music and we expect to be entertained by the message and then we expect it all to end at a certain right time and then we go on and we don't worry about it till next Sunday. That's not Christianity. Christianity is walking with God day by day. Digging into the Word of God. Getting the jewels, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, you know. Christianity is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That means you don't let a day pass without honoring God. Christianity is loving your neighbor as yourself, which is really tough sometimes. Because some of us are not easily loved. Right? That's the gold, the silver, the precious stones. You know, those things like faith, hope, and love, the spiritual gifts that remain. You know, the times when you don't really know what God's doing, but you know He's got to be doing something, and you just say, God, I trust You. That's the precious stones. The hope, knowing that even though this life is so disappointing, there's a better life coming as a child of God. The love. You see, I want you to stop, and you may have laid the foundation of Jesus Christ, but I want you to stop at this point, and I want to ask you, what are you building on that foundation? Okay? Because one of these days, the day will declare it. This is really interesting to me, as he says, the day will declare it, fire will test it, is what he says. And that word test means to prove it, to of what sort it is. Is it wood, hay, or stubble? Is it gold, silver, precious stones? Most people think this is referring to the day of judgment. And 2 Peter 3:10-13 talks about the day when the heavens and the earth will melt away with fervent heat. But you know what? It's not what it's talking about. At the judgment of the saved, we know that's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, right? That's not a fiery judgment, first of all. And the reason I say this is not the judgment, and you say, well, Brother Doug, in verse 13, each one's work shall become clear for the day. That word day is capitalized, talking about the judgment day. It's not capitalized in the Greek. That was just kind of thrown in by the translators so it would look like the judgment day. What Paul is talking about here, and I want to point out to you, when he said in verse 13, it will be revealed by fire, it's written in the future tense. That's not the way the Greek reads. The Greek reads in the present tense. Revealed by fire is a present tense verb. It literally says, well, that will, for it is being revealed by fire. Now read that a little differently, okay? In verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it is being revealed by fire. For fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. What's it talking about? It's talking about the fire that's coming right here. Okay? In this life. I want to tell you something. Just because you're a child of God does not mean we all go through life holding hands, skipping and singing kumbaya and everything's good, does it? No. Fire comes to the child of God. You look at men such as the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul who he was under fire all the time. As a matter of fact, that's what Peter is talking about in 1 Peter 4:12 when he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the what? Fiery trials, which is to what? To try or to test or to prove you, as though some strange thing happened to you." And we look at men such as Paul, who said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body." Paul said, it gets tough. That's why we have to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation that will not move. I asked you earlier, have you ever seen those people who were just hit with wave after wave after wave, yet no matter what this world seemed to throw at them, their faith just got stronger and stronger and stronger. Why did they do it? Because they were built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and they were building on that foundation with the gold, silver, and precious stones, the good stuff. Friends, look at where you are. Be perfectly honest. Now see, and I'm not preaching this from the standpoint, again, that if you'll just go to church and be a good person, life will be a bed of roses, because it will not. But one thing I know, that I'd rather face this life with the power of God behind me, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, than face this life without Jesus. You've got to have something to stand on. You've got to have something to build on. Young people, I know the draw of this world. Yeah, the draw of this world says, Come and party and do the drugs and smoke a joint and on and on. It won't hurt. Nobody will ever find out. Yes, it will hurt. Yes, it will. And I've said this before, but you say, "Oh, Brother Doug, I'm involved in that, but I'm going to quit." The you know what the wonderful thing about building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? You never have to quit anything you don't start. Listen, beloved. As I said, this isn't one of those lecturing messages where I'm pointing, shaking my finger at you. It's because everywhere I look, I see lives crumbling. And I know it's because there's no foundation there. There's no building with quality materials. See, here's where it really gets profound. As Paul says, look, you are the temple of God. Do you realize the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you realize how profound that is? That the God of this universe dwells, lives in you. Who are you? I don't know. Who am I that the God of this universe would live within me? I know this, I'm not worthy. Let me ask you a question. When you come in here for a worship service, would you bring one of those smut magazines with you when you come in here? Would you do that? If you would, please don't. The Playboys or whatever they are now. You don't bring them in to here. Why? Why? Well, Brother Doug, this is the house of God. Right. We have set this aside as the house of God. We have. Would you come in here with a bottle of whiskey stuck in your coat so that you could take a snort every once in a while? When the preacher gets long and boring, I'd probably make the message sound better. I don't know. Would you bring a bottle of whiskey in here and drink it? No. Why not? Brother Doug, this is the house of God. You're right. Next Sunday, what would you think if for my PowerPoint presentation, I had a dirty movie? You know, one of those XXX adult things. You'd think, first of all, we're going to fire that preacher, right? Rightfully so. I wouldn't do that. You know why? Because this is the house of God. But do you realize? Paul just said, you are the house of God. The temple. That's what temple means. It means dwelling place. You are the house of God. You want to know why you can't live like the devil and get away with it? Because you are the house of God. And you have just as much responsibility not to corrupt the house of God that He's living in there as we have of not corrupting this wood and stick and concrete building. Even more. You see, here's where it gets real. Acts chapter 7 verse 48 says, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. That means He's inside you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Literally, it's the same, that word defile at the beginning and defile at the end. I changed that in the text. It says that God will destroy him. It's the same Greek word. It's defile and defile. You want to know why it's not working? If it's not working, you want to know why? Because there are some things that God does not allow in His temple. There are some materials that God will not allow you to build on the foundation of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Do not defile God's temple. That's you. Now, folks, I ask you in the very beginning, this may be one of those. Look, that sounds like a father message, something that daddy would, point to his children, and the answer is yes. It's something that I tell my children quite often. Do you know why I tell them that? because I love my children. Man, I love my kids. When my grandkids start to grow up, I'm going to tell them too, because man, I love them too. I love you too. And it breaks my heart when God's people, when their lives come crashing down because they try to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with junk. Today, I want you to be honest. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. Now, who am I to point a finger at anyone? There are 10 pointing back at me. But what are you building on the foundation? What are you using to build? Are you trying to build with junk that'll collapse during the fire? Be destroyed? Or are you building with things that'll last in eternity? You know, the one thing about gold and silver, the hotter it gets, the more purified they become. Isn't that cool? And when you put gold and melt it down in a furnace and you scrape off the dross or the impurities on that, it's just that much more pure. And then you do it again and it's that much more pure. Friends, that's how we're supposed to be. You may be here tonight, this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I beg you, please, please lay a foundation so that you may have a life worth living. You may be here and you know you're saved, but you've been throwing the junk on God's foundation. Time to repent. Go a different direction. You know what's really funny? It's when we keep doing the same things and expect a different result. It don't work. You know? You keep doing the same things, you're going to keep getting the same result. Time for a change. Maybe you're here and you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Take your public stand with Christ. Whatever your need, whether it's salvation, church membership, baptism, time at this altar. Let's lay the foundation for a life that matters. Our Father in heaven, thank you. As we come to the close of the service today, Lord, I'm just reminded of our great need for you. So many lives, Lord, that are hurting, that are under attack. Father, help us to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and to build with quality material. Father, I pray for those who have built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and have built with quality material, who are today under the fire and being tried and tested, and as they come out the other side, their faith, Lord, is stronger than ever. But Lord, it's hard going through those fires. So I pray for your strength and I pray for your glory in their battle. Lord, I pray that you keep us mindful that you're the only foundation worth building. Today, we bow before you and pray your will be done. I ask you to move freely among us, convict of sin, draw us to you. In Jesus' name.